Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Vince Lamb, and I am the host tonight for Coffee Party Meet the Candidate. Tonight's candidate is, next guest is candidate Mark Gilbert. And Mark Gilbert is running for, Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to cop out. I'm going to ask Mark what he's running for. So, let's get this. Exactly, I know. Hey, Gilbert's still in the dead air. So, Mark, welcome on board the Blog Talk Radio, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person very soon. But before that, oh, yes, it's campaigns in action. And
there you go, Vince.
Right. And let's see if I can actually get this. Oh, good, the music has stopped. So, Mark, yeah, I know. Hey. So, I have not talked to Mark before. This is the first time I've talked to him tonight. And so this is going to be a new experience for me, too. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you interested in first politics and then the coffee party.
Okay, that's great, Vince. And it's nice meeting you over the phone and talking with you as well. You know, I've been sort of had a semi-political career much of my life. So I started off at an early age working for the federal government, first with the Social Security Administration, and then later with what was first the Healthcare Financing Administration, and then later became the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. But through a 33-and-a-half-year involvement and employment with the federal government, I was very much around the political scene, especially as it related to the programs for which I was responsible. In my last 20 years or so, I was working primarily with Medicare and primarily in more and more challenging and authoritative positions in management and leadership. In my last few years with the government, I served as the regional administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in Denver in their regional office. And in that responsibility, I oversaw the operations for the agency for primarily six Western states. And then also during that period of time, I was also responsible for the outreach, education, and public affairs for 10 Western states. And so I traveled around a good bit, a lot of times with political appointees and with senators and congressmen, and had, you know, through all of the years of experience with the government, had very much many interactions with political people, especially at the federal level. And a lot of that was in terms of implementing various Medicare programs, and was heavily involved in implementation of many, many things, including Medicare Part D and moving towards electronic health records and things of that nature. But much of that was very political in its nature, and very many times I was on programs with congressmen and senators and, you know, the key speaker for many of the events with these individuals. So a lot of times working around the political scene, I had sort of for many people, very strange shift in my career later in life, became very spiritually oriented and started moving towards becoming a spiritual teacher, and became an ordained minister of an organization called Centers for Spiritual Living. In that organization, I also recognized the importance of us being good stewards of the planet and being good stewards of our systems to work towards creating a world that works for everybody. And much of that is done in the political arena, Vince. And so part of the actions that I've done as a spiritual teacher is to write a series of books, do workshops and education and things of that nature, including a book on becoming a spiritual change agent, which talks to finding what your passion and purpose is and looking for ways in which you can serve to make the world a better place. So I have sort of an interesting nexus that occurred with me, hopefully you're picking up that picture, longtime federal government leadership very much involved with politics, moving into the spiritual arena, and then dancing back into an interesting mixture of being an individual who recognizes both the spiritual and the secular world as playing an important part in our lives and wanting to serve towards that growth. It was in that arena, Vince, that I discovered the coffee party back in 2010. I wrote about it on my website, and then very much followed their actions and activities from afar, then decided to volunteer with them about a year ago. And through the volunteer efforts have become involved in a number of things we can talk about. But I really resonate with the coffee party's message about inciting civility and reason and the political process. It really is, for me, looking at politics as I very much want to create a world that benefits everyone. And the agenda and the goals of the coffee party are very much in alignment with that.
So you're very much interested in finding common ground and I guess I will have to go move that or get someone to feed my dogs. Right now I have this dog licking my hand here. Those will shut him up.
I just fed my dog a few minutes ago and she's asleep right here at my feet.
Yeah, well, I have four of them and they're dachshunds, and of course the one that's licking my hand is a dachshund named Oscar. As an Oscar Mayer wiener. I didn't do that. My wife didn't do that. We adopted him from someone else who did, but we decided to keep the name.
So that's a cute name.
Yeah. So you're finding that this is not only a practical matter, but a spiritual one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, I am very much a spiritual person, but it's not a dogmatic spirituality. I believe there's a many spiritual paths, and I'm open to people's beliefs in the spiritual realm. And even if they don't consider themselves spiritual, that's fine by me. I don't consider myself anybody who is trying to force spirituality on anyone. But by my own personal career and personal evolution has moved me through a series of ways in which I look at the world, which began very much in terms of being career and materialistic oriented. Became very much concerned about humanity and the direction of the planet. And in that became very much a cultural creative, very much somebody who was interested in progressive ideas towards, both the earth and our treatment of our fellow humans on this earth. And so my spiritual beliefs feed my political beliefs. They help give color and flavor and texture to them. But they don't put me in a position where I'm at odds with other people. If other people have their own spiritual beliefs and that directs their political leanings, I certainly understand that. But one of the things that's critical for me as I've grown and evolved in my spiritual beliefs, Vince, is to recognize and sense that I really sense that everything is connected. And through that, I know that all people and all of our actions through what we do with the government are connected. So we have a spiritual realm or the non-material realm, but we also have this physical realm through which we're moving. And much of that is done through politics and through our governments and through our systems of how we look and create a world that benefits people. So the actions and ideas of how, the coffee party and what it's truly about in terms of becoming a grassroots nonpartisan movement that's working for both campaign finance reform and ways in which we can make restrictions on Wall Street regulations, et cetera, very much in alignment with my beliefs about everybody should have an equal opportunity to move forward in life, an equal footing and chance to be successful in life. And it seems like a lot of the things in recent terms and the direction in which we've gone has led to sort of a stacked deck against a lot of people. And so the belief and actions of the coffee party towards advocating for these things that bring about tax code reform and Wall Street regulations and so forth, very much in alignment with my beliefs and directions about, creating opportunities that are equal for everyone. But even more important for that is the whole idea about moving towards cultural changes that get rid of and lessen the political polarization that we've experienced in the United States in the last number of years. I believe that there's ways that we can listen to each other and dialogue about our beliefs and find common ground for moving forward on political actions. And so any kind of party, such as the coffee party, that is working towards, you know, treating each other with dignity and respect and finding ways in which we can find common ground on our political decisions so that we can move forward as a people, move forward as humanity, is very important for me. So I find this beautiful nexus between the beliefs of the coffee party and this melding of my spiritual and secular ways of seeing the world.
That's beautiful. And I'm also thinking that's also inspiring. And speaking of inspiring, I'm wondering, you know, can you share any one instance that, you know, that marked your, gelling of your spiritual viewpoint or of your political viewpoint? Any one good story about that?
Let's see. You know, Well, one thing that comes to mind, and, you know, I could probably point to a lot of stories, but, you know, I remember one that's popping into my awareness in this moment, and I'm actually going back a number of years now, when I was working with the Medicare program, and part of my responsibility at that particular time in my career was in directing customer service actions for for the program. And it called for us to reach out and create volunteer networks in the states that we were responsible for. And so I thought that given the limited resources that we had in the program for doing outreach and education, that the best way to move forward was to contact these new programs called Senior Health Insurance Counseling Programs and help get them going, help get them started. Congress had just authorized them in a bill. And so I was reaching out to the state leads. Well, to sort of shortcut what could be a really long story here, I was working with this individual who had tracked all of the funding streams for every dollar into the state of Montana that was directed towards educating seniors for various government programs. And he had brought all of these people together in moving towards creating what he called a partnership. And when I recognized that my work to try to move out and support these local groups in providing education and counseling to Medicare seniors in the individual states, and my work to try to support those groups in meeting this guy in Montana and what he had done to bring together this vast partnership, I had this epiphany, Vince, where all of a sudden I recognized through this guy that I was working with that he recognized the interconnectedness not only of all of the government programs and the dollars flowing into the state, but that there was a commonality in the goals and missions of these various groups. And he was able to voice it in a way that brought together a unique partnership with people who probably in most of the other states that I work with played a part in different and did their own things in their own little silos. And so I had this epiphany through this that showed me both that we could overcome differences, we could overcome our individual organizational structures and find ways that which we could find common ground to come together and create structure and a vision that we could work towards that served us. Now, what that did was for me, it was an epiphany first on the political area because it showed me a model of partnership development that could then be taken over into other states. And so the other states that I work with CMS, we started doing that. We started finding the same partnerships that this guy in Montana had done and basically took his model and put it in place in other places. But it also showed me at a deeper level the interconnectedness of everything. And so I was already at that point moving down a sense of being on a spiritual path and looking at ways in which, people could be served. I think my whole idea of trying to increase the levels of government customer service were tied to my recognition of the importance of every person. So I was pushed to greatness and success and efficiencies and through a desire to serve people. And I was also finding through that this connectedness with developing partnerships that all of a sudden I said, wow, not only am I here to serve, but I'm here to see and sense and know the interconnectedness of things, and in this case, government organizations, but at other levels, all people. And so it really sort of informed me moving forward.
You know, I've run into that before. I used to work for the federal government. I worked for the federal government three times. Officially I worked for it twice, but I was paid on federal money three times. The first one was as a national park ranger.
Mm-hmm.
The second time was at the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. And the third time was for the Census Bureau. And every time I was paid by Department of Commerce money. But I got to see how things work from the inside. And one of the things that I brought from that experience and that I took into my teaching, I teach environmental science, was one of the principles of policymaking, especially environmental policymaking, which is called integration, which is making sure that all these different, which is what you're talking about, all these different, you know, government agencies that are working on the same or similar problems don't work at cross purposes.
Right.
Is that what you were working on, making sure that they stopped working at cross purposes and they were working
exactly
on the same page? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And it really came about, Vince, for me because I was like, okay, I wanted to do the best job I possibly could. I saw that what we were trying to do had gave value to the public, and I also saw that we had limited resources to accomplish all that we could do. But by reaching out and partnering with what I saw first as small groups and one particular organization in each state, and trying to do what I thought was the right thing in terms of use of resources, that opened my eyes to even a greater way in which we could partner and not be at cross purposes. And so that really, you know, informed me in terms of a lot of my actions with the government for years to come and up and through the time that I was retired from the government. You know, I really got to a point where I could have stayed on and done, but I also felt like it was time for me to leave and let somebody else handle that, and that I wanted to serve the planet and be of good in other ways. And so that's led me down being more involved with, you know, the spiritual stuff, but it's also circled me back and recognized that all those years in the government and all my desire to really bring together resources for the common good can be served in so many other ways. And so Coffee Party is so much in alignment with that. It's really about, not only Coffee Party doesn't see itself as insulated from all these other groups that are out there. Each one has its own flavor and what it brings to the table in terms of initiatives to move us forward as a people. But Coffee Party has its uniqueness in terms of its desire to eliminate polarization and misinformation and bring about political engagement by people from all ends of the spectrum in honest and dignified conversations. And so although there may be other groups that are working on that as well, Coffee Party is the one, you know, that really came to my awareness that this was a central essence of what it's about. And that was so much in alignment with who I was. And I said, let's work with them. Let's bring our years of experience with both the secular path with the government and spiritual path with the organization that I've been working with there. And let's bring that to bear to serve for the common good for people through an entity, because we all know that, you know, as individuals, we can do so much. Our sphere of influence only goes so far. You know, we can, you know, be a good model for other people. We can, you know, do all the things we can within our own lives. But it's only by partnering with other people and other organizations that we really are able to extend ourselves and our sphere of influence to really, you know, better the world.
So when you're talking about the kinds of campaigns and actions that you'll be overseeing, mm-hmm. are you looking at a lot of partnerships with other organizations with similar goals? Is that what you have in mind?
You know, that's one of the things that I would like to see us doing more on. We've had some dialogue about that already. I might just back up and say that one of the things the group has been doing that we've been working and up and running since late last year, we've been scheduling. We're working on primarily on two major areas. One is creating a series of what I would call monthly events that are for our Coffee Party membership. And this includes book club events, movie night events. We've done a Twitter storm one night. So we're looking at various ways that we can create an event around some aspect that engages our Coffee Party members. And so to that degree, some of the things that we've worked on, really, as soon as you get involved with it, you recognize, well, other people are doing these things too. And so we have started having initial conversations about how can we bring out and do something that is working with other groups. In fact, I know that when recent things have come up about. There's an area where earlier this year we did a petition on the Coffee Party website regarding campaign finance reform and the repeal of Citizens United, actions towards that. But other groups are doing that as well, and we knew, let's go ahead and do something with Coffee Party, but let's also look at ways we can share that and engage other people in that as well. So although we had our own petition, as we've come through looking at some other ideas this year, I know one came up on the new campaign finance provisions that were recently introduced in Congress. We've looked at creating our own pages on the Coffee Party website, but we also simultaneously stop and go and say, who else is doing this and how can we work together? Now, I'd like to point at some things that we've done really great and wonderful. I know that the Coffee Party has worked with other groups, but for the monthly events, we haven't really taken that to the next step of doing it with other groups yet. One of the reasons for that is because the second purpose for that group is really to create the structure to support local grassroots Coffee Party groups. We have a number of individuals and groups around the United States that have formed their own Coffee Party group. They have their own Facebook pages. Many of them get together and you know, have their own meetings and things of that nature. And our whole desire, Vince, is that these monthly events that we've been creating, the book clubs and movie nights and so forth, not only do they give something for people to rally around in terms of the Coffee Party, but they're also supportive of the local groups, that they can tap into them. And so our idea really is to move first into communicating with routinely and regularly and getting input from our local groups so that these monthly events we're doing support them and they can use them for their local groups. And then their local groups can give us ideas of things they would like to see. And so as we move that, we feel like we would then, the first level or tier of support through these this events process would be in disengaging our local Coffee Party groups. But beyond that, when you say, how will we get to partnering with other groups? Obviously, many of the issues that get raised by some of the items that we've been promoting really are things that are also promoted by other groups. And so as we grow the volunteer program and we are able to create more engaging events and have our local groups engaged in it, I want us to reach out and see how we can bring these to partnerships with other groups that have similar beliefs and worldviews as Coffee Party does.
Cool. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing that implemented. Let's go back up a little bit. What could you describe? You mentioned that you had written about the Coffee Party back in 2010 on mm-hmm. your blog, I believe. And then something else happened 4 years later to get you to join. Could you relate the stories of both of those? I mean, what was your, a little more detail, your reaction to, the founding of the Coffee Party?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Somehow or another, and I really don't remember the details on it, Vince, but I remember getting something coming across either social media or the news. I think I would say back in 2010, maybe, that was about the Coffee Party. And it just really, I thought, some group gets it, that we really need to be moving beyond polarization and moving towards, creating more, dignity and respect and respectful communications and dialogue in the political arena. And so I wrote a blog, and I'm pretty sure it was back in 2010 on my blog site. Now, my blog site is called Conscious Bridge, and the website address is consciousbridge.com. And for anybody who's interested, and they can go and see that, there's postings that get into the spiritual area, there's postings that get into the political area. It's an interesting mixture of stuff. But, but I wrote about it because the topic and direction of the Coffee Party spoke to me. Now, because I was busy with other stuff at that time, I didn't take a proactive step to go out and try to get engaged with the Coffee Party. I saw this looks great, promoted it myself and writing about it and then moved on. There was a few times, though, I would circle around and read about what the Coffee Party was doing. And I think at one point in time, and I don't remember exactly when that was, but I remember going in and filling out a request to volunteer for the Coffee Party. Didn't hear anything back from it for a while. But in the interim, what was going on was this interesting dynamic that was going on in my life. I had been working for this spiritual organization called Centers for Spiritual Living, and helping them through a merger process, and was working in a role for them that was more than full time, and part of that was with that and my website and writings and teaching, I really didn't have much time for a lot of other volunteer work. But I had gotten to a point where I felt like I had accomplished a lot of the things that I wanted to do with a particular position that I'd been hired for, and I think I was 3.5 or 4 years into that position. And so I had sort of gotten together and sort of, and I do this periodically. I go back and I look at my life and say, okay, where am I? Am I on track for what I see as my vision and mission for my life? What's next for me? And I was at one of those self-reflective moments in my life where I recognized it was time to let go of that full-time position with Centers for Spiritual Living, and had just retired from that position, so a second retirement, and was in the sort of interim space of what was next for me. I went on a personal retreat, journaled a lot, was coming up with new items and areas where I wanted to be engaged, and part of that was a desire to be more involved in taking my spirituality back into the secular arena. I'd already been doing that with my website and writing, but I thought, okay, there's an opportunity for me to step forward in some way and serve in some greater capacity towards the direction of this vision that I have about creating a world for everyone that works for everyone. And it was in that context of stepping out of that full-time job and being in that space of what's next that somebody from the coffee party called me and said, hey, we see you signed up a good while back on the website about volunteering, and would you be interested in volunteering? And so it just happened to be, you know, beautiful synchronicity right at the right moment that I had a little bandwidth in my schedule that I said, sure, let's do this. You know, since then, I've gone back working part-time for that organization, serving as their global services coordinator. I'm working supporting global spiritual communities around the world, and that's fun, but it's only a couple of days a week, and I'm continuing with my writing and books and website, and I go out and talk and speak and do a lot with that. But I have some room there, and it's in that room and in that context of wanting to be an agent of change. Like I think I mentioned, one of my books I wrote was called Becoming a Spiritual Change Agent. It really is allowing me to walk my talk. It's allowing me to step in. And I see my role in Coffee Party has gone from being called and being a volunteer to stepping and being more engaged and more engaged and more engaged. And that's simply, you know, why? Because the ideals and visions of Coffee Party are so much in alignment with my vision for the planet as well. And so I look for groups that I can partner with, bring my skills and abilities to, and hopefully serve them to move forward and, you know, appropriate shifts in consciousness in the planet.
You know, and that's one of the things we're doing. We're actually trying to shift the consciousness of America, and that's a spiritual task, but we don't really realize that's what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. You know, and we don't have to label it spiritual, because if some people feel threatened or it doesn't resonate with them, that's okay. Your worldview, everybody's worldview, feeds their intentions and their direction for their individual lives and their collective lives. And so some people, you know, I tend to feel that most people at some point in time, even if they have divorced themselves from the religions of their youth, they may come back at some point to an engagement with a spirituality that transcends and includes what they had previously. It doesn't have the old dogma of what they might have learned as religions of their past, but it absorbs the those things that are valuable from them. It absorbs what they've learned from science and secular actions and our material culture, and brings together almost a humanistic standpoint to it. And so that they're, I believe most people move through an evolutionary process that calls them back, even if they leave religion and spirituality, back to an engagement with something that feeds their understanding of deeper meaning in life. But even wherever they are, wherever you are, whether you're calling it spirituality or whether you're calling it that, you know, I want to see from a materialistic standpoint that America, you know, disengages itself from the incoming inequality that we've seen, that we create a political structure that is more open and inclusive of all people and all of that. Even if you don't see it from a spiritual concept, that's okay, because we're on the same page. I can be motivated by what I see as a more deeper spiritual essence that's feeding that vision. You can be motivated for different reasons, but if our outcomes are the same, what difference does it matter if we're doing it for different worldviews?
That's a line about who cares whether a cat is black or white so long as it catches mice. that's actually a Chinese saying, but you know, that's a statement of a pragmatist right there.
Exactly.
Right now, I want to go. We've been on the call for half an hour right now, and there's been someone who's been on the line for almost all that half an hour, and it looks like they want to ask something. So we have a caller here from area code 620. Area code 620. Hang on. I'm going to put you live and go ask if you want to get on. Hang on.
This is Jack Goldie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. So, did you want
to
go ask?
Okay, I keep thinking of the news. Everything was in the news of this thing in South Carolina.
Yes.
That murder of 9 people. Okay. I've got to admit, I'm prejudiced against white supremacists. That guy was a right to be. He's only 21 years old. And
you have a question.
I think what has to be done is an effort on a conversation on gun violence. That's a conversation on race connected with it, because this guy wanted to murder all blacks. It was in the oldest AME church in the United States, I think, maybe in the South, and possibly in the United States. And
wrap it up and get a question in, or sing for Mark, not just to go make a point, but we need to ask a question here. This is Mark's show and my show.
Okay, now what do you? Okay, now what is your connection with the coffee party?
You're asking me, the host?
Yeah, what's your name again?
My name is Vince Lamb, and I am the secretary for the coffee party, secretary of the board. So I'm the person
okay.
who runs the minutes, and I'm also the person in charge
I'll be joining the coffee party. You just have to contact me. Okay.
Okay.
The question is, there's one problem here. Spiritual. Okay.
If you're going to go, wait, if I'm talking to you, you wait until I'm finished.
Okay.
All right, because I was talking to you and you tried to step over me. I'm the host. I won't allow this. I'm a teacher, and one of the things I won't tolerate is people talking over me. And if you do that again, I'll just cut you off, no matter what the merit of what you have to say. This is part of being civil, is respecting each other's space on this gun. Now that I'm finished... Now you can talk.
Okay. Now, the host is, what is your spiritual connection? I understand you worked a lot for government. And,
this is nothing. Yeah. Oh, you're talking to Mark then.
Mark, yeah. Mark,
what?
Is that
your
name, Mark?
Yes, and your name
okay,
was
what is
Jay?
Your...
Right?
What is your connection with your spiritualism, and what does this have to do with? I know we have a lot. We have something in common. We have worked for the federal government.
Okay,
right.
I
worked in the post office. I retired. From
you know,
the post
you're
office.
Not. You're not allowing Mark to answer your question. I'm going to mute you.
Okay.
Mark can answer your
okay.
question, but I'm muting you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, first off, I appreciate the question. It, you know, it's an interesting a dilemma we're faced with. And as I gathered your question, let me just speak to the fact that the events that have occurred, they're very tragic. And I think our hearts go out to all of the people who are impacted by the tragedy that's occurred today. And I know that, it raises a number of questions, just like any time anything, any violence like this comes about, in terms of not only our hearts being open to ensuring to take steps such that things like this don't happen in the future, but also our heart goes out to an overall system that breeds the kinds of beliefs and misunderstandings that can lead to a person to taking such heinous actions. And always a person should be held accountable for their actions, but our hearts are certainly, you know, in our prayers and thoughts are with the people who are impacted by the events there. You know, my spirituality in terms of feeding events such as this, they what they tell me is that, and I think it ties back to the political section, you know, as well, is that we have a system in our country where, unfortunately, for a number of reasons, people have led themselves into making mistakes in their beliefs such that they can turn to violence and think that violence and then trying to harm people of a certain faith or a certain race is in alignment with their beliefs. Obviously, most of us know this is a mistaken beliefs. And, you know, but what would lead a person to believing that? And there's also then the issues of access to guns and things of that nature, where how did the person get, and I don't know all of the details. I want to be very clear. I've not been engaged so totally in the story that I know all of the details. But it does open us to the dialogue of having respectful dialogue. And I think this is where the coffee party comes in. We look at this and say, we need to be creating a campaign finance reforms and things of that nature so that the people's will is listened to. I know that when after the tragedy occurred in Sandy Hook, that, you know, statistics were overwhelmingly in favor of us taking some actions proactively on gun reform, and yet nothing occurred. And you have to ask yourself why, when 80 to 90% of the people on the most polls are in favor of us taking some actions that restrict gun access in some degree, that we don't have that. And if you follow the dots on it, most of us come to the conclusion that it's based on the fact that strong, very well-financed special interests have taken over and control many aspects of certain decisions made by our government. And so to that degree, the actions of the coffee party towards moving us towards legislative fixes that bring us back into a manner where elected officials would be more responsive to their constituents rather than to money would lead us to creating and putting in place rules that would bring about change that would impact things in a positive way. We would have gun reform if that was the proper outcome for it. But what happens a lot of times is the money and things of that nature precludes us from even making steps towards that. And then we have people who get polarized around the issue. Instead of we'll get people who are so arguing on anything about that don't ever touch my guns, that you get two ends of this spectrum. So the whole voice of the reason to people in the middle who say, yes, let's keep guns, let's value, you know, the Second Amendment and the ability for people to have their own, you know, arm themselves. But let's also look at other ways in which we can address mental health issues and look at proper gun background rechecks and such. So where Coffee Party comes in is to try to break down the polarization of people on either end so we can create a dialogue that leads to a positive solution. And we can get rid of the finance, the moneyed interest in politics to a degree that we can bring it back so that the people's voices are heard. My spiritual beliefs around this are such that I'm very saddened by the events. I know that ultimately we as a people will come together through this and heal and move forward as a country. I know that. And, you know, and I think it's time for groups like Coffee Party and others to be the voice of reason and support that moves us to that healing that I think we all want to experience. So thank you for the question.
Yes, you're welcome. And I'm glad you tied this back into the whole idea of not only a current event, but how it ties back into not only polarization, which is one of the Coffee Party's themes, but also money in politics, where money was able to thwart the will of a vast majority of people.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we could go on with issue after issue of the people, the majority of people want this. This is, according to a lot of objective observers or neutral observers, probably a very good idea, yet it's not happening. And again, it goes back to the people with money saying, no, this is not in our interests or what we believe in, which are not necessarily the same thing, and then they manage to thwart governance.
Right. You know, and in the midst of a tragedy such as this, and I think, you know, the immediate response that anyone who was at fault in creating such a tragedy should be, of course, held accountable for their actions, and that we come together in support and love and honoring of the individuals who've been touched by the tragedy. And so our first response in any circumstance such as this is for us to rally around and support with love and with our own beliefs about the uniqueness of humanity and our care and concern for our fellow humans who are going through such a challenge. And I think that out of that healing that occurs and out of our support for love for the people who are touched by this, you know, we owe it to them and to all of the victims of previous situations that have been very similar for us to say, what caused this? And for us to step aside from the polarization and to move to some positive solutions. And that's why I think the coffee party can be a voice of reason to bring us back to the dialogue that's going to solve some of these things. I think most of us would agree that we've had too many instances like this, too many situations where we want to go, never again, never again. And yet we turn around and there's another event and another event. And I have to hold hope that we eventually will move through whatever it is that's keeping us from solving this and move positively towards a solution.
Wow. You know what? I have trouble topping that. That's a great place to end the call.
Okay.
Although, you know, so on that note, actually one more thing. What do you have anything that you want to see the coffee party to do that it hasn't done before? Do you think the coffee party could do, you know, that you could help the coffee party do that it hasn't been able to do before?
You know, and I don't know everything the coffee party has done throughout its history, so let me just preface my remarks by that. But one of the things that I am very interested in seeing the coffee party do, and it has done, we have done it a little bit through the monthly events, is to create more and more venues for people to practice appropriate skills for dialoguing with people in a respectful manner. You know, that we have too many situations. I mean, if you turn into cable news and you watch anything on there, we get taught day in and day out how to argue, how to disagree, how to be polarized on an issue. And this is what's modeled to us continuously. And so what we need to do is to have in our bag of tricks how to respond to someone when they are bringing about a disrespectful communication. We have to have a way that stops it in a way that honors it. It puts a healthy boundary around, you know, what is going on so that a person can't continue down the path of being disrespectful. We need to stop that. But we need to bring it back to the realm of how can we communicate in a manner that honors and respects each other. You know, and so that's something that we all have to have those skills. And because what happens, let's be honest, we're all human and we all have our egos and we all get, you know, engaged in the heat of the moment. And somebody says something to us we disagree with, or, you know, and it's very easy for us to get in that sort of, you know, very quickly gets heated and elevated up. So the next thing we know, we're in an argument. We're going, how the heck did we get here? You know, that wasn't my intention originally, but now we're in this, you know, this bad argument. And I think we all need to have skills that recognize that when one person's getting heated or disagreeable, that we can put the brakes on and redirect the conversation into a more loving and respectful way. And so what I'd like to see, Vince, is that we have more ways in which we support local practices, and whether it's online stuff or whether it's, you know, engaging our groups and practices, so that we have more opportunity for respectful dialogue. We've done a few of those with the monthly events. We had we did a book club earlier this year, where we focused on a book on civility and government dialogue, and they talked through some of the practices of it. We had a modeling of something called living room conversations on one of our events recently, which was showing how you could dialogue. And I think we used the TPP as an example, with different people with different viewpoints on the TPP, and went through a process that allowed us to discuss it in a way that heard each other's viewpoints in a respectful way. And there's other models of way things like out there. So to answer your question, I think more of that. We've put our toe in the water a little bit, but I think that's the uniqueness that I think the coffee party can bring to the political arena, is to offer people skills so that when they get in those circumstances, they engage respectful dialogue and they don't find it elevated into arguments.
I was on that TPP Living Room Conversation call. Were you? I don't remember. Were you?
I was on the line listening. I was on the line listening.
Okay. Okay, because that was one of the so I was going, I should have remembered you if you were on that call, because I remember all the people I was talking with. Like, I don't remember you, but you'd have been. We actually need another person on that call to fill it out, and, hey, we should have had you.
Yeah,
that
I think there were some
helpful.
Changes at the changes at the last minute and the people on the call. But that particular call, Vince, that was set up through the committee that's been doing the monthly events. And so we've got some others coming up in the next few weeks. We're doing a book club this month on a book called If I Were President, Saving Main Street. And we'll have a dialogue with the author. We're doing a Twitter storm on another topic, which we did one earlier this year, and it was really fun to get out on Twitter and to try to tweet about a particular topic to elevate its voice in the Twitterverse. We've got another. Coffee Party is hosting a screening of a film called Education Incorporated in August. That we're working with the filmmakers on that to roll out their film, which discusses the role of politics and money in the educational system and how we need to be talking about that. And then in September, Healing the Heart of Democracy is the book that we'll be exploring by a well-known spiritual and educational teacher, a guy by the name of Parker Palmer. We'll have him on a call for some dialogue in September. So these are the kinds of things that we've been scheduling. The Living Room Conversation was one. We've got more. And I'm looking for more of those kinds of things, too, that would be an opportunity for us to build our skills in being respectful.
Okay. I couldn't top your last statement, but you were able to top your last statement. That was outstanding. I'm looking forward to seeing all these things happen with the coffee party. And, well, I can't tell the people to vote for you. I can certainly tell the people to vote. And
yes.
So all the coffee party members out there who got their membership in on time, please look for an email going out next week to vote up or down on Mark Gilbert as the director in charge of campaigns and actions. I'll be looking forward, and I'm looking forward to voting. And I'd like to thank Mark for coming on our show tonight, and I wish him luck. And my wife is laughing at me, and I'm going to say, close out, let's make her laugh even more. Coffee party on. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Vince. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning laugh. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. Lamppost, what you knowin'? I come to watch your flowers growing. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Do it, do do, feeling groovy. Da 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 da, feeling groovy. I got no deeds to do, no promises to keep. I'm dappled and drowsy and ready to sleep. Let the morning time drop all its petals on me. Life, I love you, all is groovy.